good. So last time I was, yeah, it's true. Last time I was interviewing Glass, but it never came out. What happened?
Your mic broke something. No, I think me and Tib did the whole thing, and then you realized you didn't have it on or something after we left. It was like, ah! And now your mic's broke.
That was the best bit of radio ever.
It was very nice, yes. And it was history that will never be repeated.
How was it last night?
Oh, it was great. Man, it was fun playing. I mean, like, we haven't been able to play like that in like 6 months because we've been on the road with Maxwell for like literally the last 6 months. So it was like, this was our first time playing together, like with our group doing our stuff for that long. So it was like, it was great. Then having Bilal come out and do it with us, it was just like, and the whole thing was pretty much impromptu. It was just like, we're up there playing and having fun and seeing what happens, you know. So it was great. Yeah.
Well, for me, it was the best I've ever heard you. I've seen you many times. I think possibly the environment and the setting was really great because it was comfortable, good sound, there was space for you guys, and you could just get into it.
Exactly. Yeah, normally it's more of a, normally we play it's like a standing room thing, or it's like more of a club vibe. This is more of a theater sit down, which is different too. It made us kind of do different things, you know what I mean, versus people standing up and be like, oh, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's just a different vibe, but I loved it. It was great. Yeah, definitely.
And we need to hear more from Bilal, because I think that as well, he's done so much stuff, but to hear him so bare with you guys, just, it was free, right?
It was totally free, yep, seeing what happened. Like I said, we really didn't have a set list per se. We just do like 3 songs at some point we're going to do, and in between, it's kind of like whatever we felt at the time, just kind of go with it, and Bilal just fits right in with us with that. So there's no like having to talk or tell somebody, like, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, really free, yeah.
And you did all my favorite tunes. All for Love.
All for Love, yeah. Yeah.
What was the other? You did Somewhere? Was it Somewhere you did? No. Which was the other? The one?
All for Love?
Yeah.
All Matter from my record? Yeah. All Matter. That's my joke. Ah, so I forgot to. I got some outtakes of All Matter, too.
And In a Sentimental Mood, which I've never heard that like that before.
Yeah, we put Fuck the Police under it. Dilla, Fuck the Police under it. We try to put Dilla in wherever we can. Yeah. I mean, when you listen to it, like, Fuck the Police In a Sentimental Mood. You know, it's kind of like, oh, what? But, you know, it's fun and it worked out. So,
cool. So what else is going on? So you've been doing Maxwell, and the album Double Booked is out now, right? Although not many people seem to have it yesterday.
Not many people seem to have it. Well, come on, London. Get it together. No, but actually, it was number one on iTunes for like 4 weeks. And it's doing well. The record's doing well, even though I haven't done much touring on it. But I think me being out with Maxwell is just a different marketing thing for me, because, you know, he doesn't ignore you when you're on stage. He like shouts out everybody's name out and, you know, gives them props and says, I have a record out. You know, he's really about the band. So it was a good look for me, because like, I'm playing in front of an audience that probably wouldn't come see me, but now they might come see me now that they know who I am. And, you know, he's always twittering about us, and, you know, so it's just a different fan base that I'm getting to play in front of versus the normal jazz audience I'm always playing in front of. So my whole point is to just bring jazz a new audience, because that's what it needs to survive, because the audience can be kind of stagnant and the same kind of people, you know. So just trying to get it hip and fresh and new, you know, get it out there. So
it was fresh and hip yesterday. I mean, it was a young crowd, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, young, and there were some old people bobbing the Dilla. It was nice. I saw some gray hairs, like, yeah, what's that, you know. Yeah. So that's very cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
So anything else that you've been working on? Because you've worked with so many people, from Mos Def to Q-Tip. Last time I saw you here in the UK was with Q-Tip.
Yeah.
Apart from Maxwell, have you been doing anything else?
Actually, Tip's last single just came out, The Life Is Better. It's a tune I wrote, actually. I co-wrote with Tip, and it's featuring Norah Jones. They just did a video on it, and it's out now. So I don't know. I think people are spinning it now. But yeah. I know the video's out. You can like see on YouTube, Life Is Better. But
that was the big tune for us. That was the one that won him the album, the track of the year last year, was Life Is Better.
Oh, he won track of the year?
Yeah.
I didn't even know. I've been out of the loop. I had a kid, so... So I've been like out of the loop. Wow, great.
Yeah.
Nice.
Any other guest things? Have you been writing with people?
I mean, not
Maxwell.
Like since May, I've just been Maxwelled out, pretty much. That's been my thing. Maxwell, then, you know, dealing with my fam at home. Pretty much those have been the only 2 things. But now we have some time off. We're going to go out, do some things. Got some things happening in Japan and some other places, kind of like doing spot dates and stuff like that. And, off the top of my head, that's pretty much what's happening now. But I know Tip is starting to work on his new record, so whenever that happens, you know, we're going to collaborate and do some things. And, you know, maybe next year do some more things with Most. He's talking about doing some things. So, you know, it all comes back around.
Listen, it was a phenomenal show, really. I mean, I'm not just saying this. As I said to you yesterday, I've seen a lot of shows this year, but that was the best show I've seen all year.
Oh, great. That's what's up. Giles Peterson said it was the best show he's seen all year. I'm blushing.
Cool, man. Thank you. The morning after the night before in the Strand Palace Hotel, I can't believe he's only literally come in. I've done this so many times myself, though, but you've come in and out and you're going back to the States today, Bilal.
Yep. Just in for a quick gig and back.
When's the last time you came to the UK?
Yeah, it's been like maybe 2 years or so.
I saw you last time in New York around the Fella show, and that was a year and a half ago, and you were having all kinds of troubles with your label and all that stuff. Where's it all at now? Because I heard that you had a record deal.
Yeah, all that stuff has subsided since then, you know. I'm back to making music and recording again, so I'm pretty excited, you know. Gonna do it up, do it good. I'm signed to an independent label out of L.A. called Plug Research, and they're through this big internet thing called The Orchard. So I like working with them, the guys over at Plug, because their whole main thing is just experiment and pushing the music and pushing the envelope. So, you know, that's what I'm all about.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I mean, when you played yesterday with Robert, I'd never heard you so bare and so free. It was an amazing experience.
Yeah, man, that's where I'm at right now. I'm just really trying to push myself musically and lyrically, you know, to really go where I've always wanted to go, you know. But I've never really kind of had that, you know, all my cats and my friends, you know, they inspire me to go there. But now that I actually have cats, you know, as far as a record label, that's encouraging me to do that too. So it's really been cool, you know.
So when can we expect something, and what's the new album going to sound like? Is it going to be, yeah, give me a little flavor of what it's going to be like.
Oh, man. Songwriting wise, you know, it's a little simpler. You know, my last music that I was working on, you know, it was really like layered as far as backgrounds and stuff like that. But this time, it's got a lot of blues elements, a lot of rock elements. And man, jazz, heavy jazz elements, and it's not. I'm singing, you know. There's not a lot of like layered background vocals, but it's a lot of layered sounds. As far as I can't think. I just woke up. A lot of layered sounds as far as like. Like that, so I look at it like paintings, you know. It's layered, but it's still bare as far as the songwriting.
Sounds cool, man. Looking forward to it. Have you done any guest things that we should look out for? Because sometimes you appear here and there on the odd thing. Obviously, you're on Robert's album on a couple of great tracks on there.
Oh yeah, the guest thing is funny because I've going from the extreme of Robert and Terrence Blanchard to Busta Rhymes and Talib Kweli and High Tech. So, you know, I think that's really cool because it kind of keeps me balanced, you know.
State Supreme Court justice has acquitted three New York police detectives of all charges related to the 50 shots that killed Sean Bell, an unarmed African American man, on November 25th, 2006.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. Though before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death.
The scenery in the city. Well, I guess the closest and most honest description I can give is basically pictures that I've seen in books and scenes that I've seen in movies and in bad news stories of destruction and carnage all over the world. That's what New Orleans, Louisiana. Hurricanes Katrina, and I mean, it just didn't look like that for a week or a month or 6 months or a year. I mean, it still looks like that to this day, and today is the 9th of October, 2008. There's a ridiculous amount of blighted property that has not been restored or destroyed, so new property can be put up. Household chemical, every chemical from each refrigerator, wherever there was any cars that were left, any lawnmowers, all of this stuff was in this water. Picture that. The houses, of course, most of them were destroyed. If you go to where the levee break was close by, the 17th Street Canal, you can see where houses were pushed on top of houses. As far as the way they look now, there's still a lot of dilapidation. It's taken over, you know, 3 years now to get the necessary money through all of the pipelines. It goes from the federal government to the state government, and it loses, you know, I don't know, power, it seems, or you have to go through all of those channels. Everybody has to get a piece. As far as people struggling, I mean, that's still going on. There's still one thing that happened is the rent tripled in this city, where the money you were making on your actual job didn't change. So a lot of people are having to take on two, sometimes three jobs just to make their mortgage payments or to make their, you know, rent or to pay car notes, just everyday bills, you know, having the rent triple. There wasn't a lot of land left that was untouched by the storm, so all of the, you know, houses that weren't destroyed were in high demand. People wanted to come back, but didn't necessarily have a place to go.
If you could go and see any singer in the world tomorrow, dead or alive, just you and that person, face-to-face, solo show for you, who would it be?
Betty Carter. I love Betty Carter. I wish I could have saw her more before she died. She was dope.
It's funny, I was going to mention that I felt some Betty Carter last night when I watched you, mm-hmm. but I thought that maybe you had performed with her once. I think Pevin Everett had performed with her before, but yeah, you never actually performed with her or was taught by her or anything like that?
No, I did a master class with her once in high school, and I sang for her in high school, but I've never sang with her. I remember one time she had invited me to sit in on her gig in high school, but my I was waiting on my dad to take. My dad never took me. I never forgave my dad for that, man. She had put my name on the list. That was the first time I was ever going to be at a club.
He's watching the game.
And my pops was like, yeah, I'll take you. And then, you know, he never took me, man. I was just, he was like, yeah, we just going to make a stop at my friend's house first. And we went to his friend's house, and he just started yapping. Never got there. I never forgave him for that, man. I always talked to him about that, and he just laughs like, ah. It's all right, it's all right. You still got to see her when you went to New York. So, I don't know.
Robert, any artist that you can go and see perform tonight when you get back to New York, dead or alive, solo show for you, who would it be?
Solo show for me? I'd probably say Donny Hathaway. Solo, playing and singing. All I really need is him to say, hang on to the world. Well, not like that, but I just need a verse. I just need a verse with him playing and singing, that'd be good.
Hell yeah, I'd like to see Art Tatum play. I just want to see what his fingers look like going that fast.
I'll jump off a bridge if I saw that. I saw it in person, I'll die, but I don't want to see that in person. I want to make believe in my mind that he really didn't do it. It keeps me like, oh, okay, cool. But if I realize he actually did that, That wouldn't be a good look for me.
Yeah, man, I saw that on YouTube.
No, it wasn't him. It was fast forwarded. Actually, I actually want Donnie to sing that, but I want Herbie to play it.
Ooh.
Yeah, that I'll be good with that.
And have either of you seen anyone, like, in the last sort of few months at gigs or in any kind of music that you've just gone, that's really inspired me? Anyone that's hit you, you know, that you've discovered recently?
I saw Jose Gonzalez, man, last year, like, 3 times, man. He's great. He really inspired me when I saw him. And Little Dragon. Little Dragon. Yeah, they're dope as hell, too. So that's what I've been rocking, those cats. And I never got to see Radiohead, but I've been rocking that In Rainbows album. You know, for over and over again, top to bottom. One of the greatest records put out in a very long time, period, for me. So.
Yeah, I like Tom York. I like everything he does.
And, any good hip-hop recently?
I like Jay-Z's ass album. I'm not sure. I'm not really.
You know what? I
really
like
up
Little Brother stuff. Little Brother.
Oh, yeah.
Got some cool things out.
Hey, listen, you two yesterday, you got to keep this thing going. The light of your performance yesterday, it was truly inspiring for me as someone in the business for a long time, even longer than you guys. I think. Yeah, definitely.
Word.
See you soon.
Yes, sir. Can't wait till next time.
Yeah, man.
Yes, sir. In a minute. Yeah. Hopefully this recorded down. We're going to leave to get the light.
We don't save any of those.